Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Oh, man, it's a mess out there today. Woo! It's kind of ugly. That's how I describe it. I had to drive down to Crosstown Concourse this morning, and it was slow moving on the highways. And kind of nasty. Was that your experience? Was it nasty?
Very much so. Cold, rainy, and miserable.
Cold, rainy, and miserable. But just sunshine here. All sunshine here. We got John Martin in the next segment. We got Chris Herring straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Sam Hardiman joins the show after that. All sunshine here on the Jeff Calkins Show. A little cold and miserable. Yesterday, we're bearing down on November. Oh, we got Halloween Friday. What is your daughter going to be for Halloween?
She's going to be Minnie Mouse.
And how was this decided?
She loves Mickey Mouse and therefore loves Minnie Mouse.
I see.
And my wife is like, I think we're just going to do that.
So you, so it wasn't her decision. It was your wife's decision?
Yeah,
she's too young to decide.
I don't think she came up with like a list.
Right.
Like I think, but she's already. We've had
How
the.
How old is she now?
Josephine's. She turned 2 in August.
Okay. Well, so what happens with trick or treating at 2?
Trick or treating at 2 will be my wife taking my daughter to my parents' neighborhood and her trick or treating while
there
I'm calling the MUS game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who's MUS playing?
Briarcrest.
And you lament that you're missing it?
A little bit, but
so she will go. She will go door to door.
Yeah, like they live in like a neighbor that's like one giant circle or oval, I guess, and so it like their neighborhood's pretty like well connected.
I'm not a big Halloween guy. I think there's two kinds of people in this world. I really do think this is one way you can. You can separate people, right? Like there's very clearly, there's Halloween people and then there's not Halloween people. Don't you think that's true?
Even like the varying different, like even in college when it's like slutty Halloween, like I never for me.
Now I don't think the non-Halloween people, like I don't hate Halloween.
Right. I'm not the guy that was like, I'm not participating whatnot. It's never appealed to me.
I don't care about Halloween.
At all.
I get that. Well, you know, it is. It's just about dress up. It's whether you are someone who likes dressing up and being clever with costumes and whatever else. That's in the end, that's the particularly as a grown up, the Halloween and non-Halloween divide. I don't think there is a Halloween and non-Halloween divide when you're 7. Everybody likes Halloween when you're 7.
Yeah.
Because you get candy.
Correct.
And everybody likes it when you're 13. I don't know whatever. Here's a great moment from my wife's. This is a moment that has to do with Halloween, but it also has to do with psychology and mental health. Okay, so Claire is tall. She played basketball at Austin Peay, right? She's tall.
Yep.
And she was a center. She was a big. She's 6 feet, basically, but she's, you know, so she's not 6'4". She's not Heidi Willingham, as my references. She was a Vanderbilt star from way back. But she's tall. And she loves Halloween. She's an artist. She's creative. She wishes her kids were six so she could get them, dress them up again. Like, you know, create costumes for them. She is a total Halloween enthusiast. And loved it as a kid. And when I met her, she explained to me that one of her real sadnesses as a kid was she was trick-or-treating once. And as she was ringing on a doorbell, the woman who was handing out candy said, "Aren't you too old to be trick-or-treating?"
Mm.
She was absolutely devastated. And never trick-or-treated again. I may be exaggerating, but that was the essence. Like, it is.
It was a scarring moment.
This is a story she has carried through her life forever. Okay? This, the day that Halloween was ruined for her. And that's how I heard this story. The other day, we were walking our dogs through around our neighborhood there in Sea Isle. And we were discussing Halloween costumes. What were you as a kid?
Oh,
did you have,
boy.
Were you store-bought costumes?
Yeah, usually. I mean, I'm telling you, the me not being a Halloween guy is not a new development. Like, I remember it one year there was like a football player. But like, I never got super into it.
So, but back in the 70s, here's what you were. There were, we, as far as I know, no one had a store-bought costume. Certainly if you were one of nine kids, you didn't.
Well, you got to remember also the store-bought costumes when I was in like school, we still had stuff from China. It was all cheap.
Right. Here's what you could be when you were growing up as a Calkins. You could be a hobo,
mm-hmm.
like a homeless person.
Yep.
People don't do that anymore. They don't grow up as the we do not dress up as the unhoused, mm-hmm. as they say anymore. Okay, you could be a hobo. You could be a wounded soldier,
okay.
where you would just put ketchup on a sling and create a sling for yourself, okay. and another one around your. You could be a hobo. You could be a wounded soldier. You could be a ghost where you just put a sheet mm-hmm. over yourself. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Or you could be, because my dad. This is true, ladies and gentlemen. This was the '70s. Okay, my dad once brought a sombrero back from Mexico, mm-hmm. so you could be a Mexican.
Okay.
Like, that was it. Like, we are...
You couldn't even use, like, your parents' scrubs?
We are so insensitive and racially insensitive. You could be a homeless person, a Mexican, a soldier, or a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could have been a doctor. It was never a... Like, we didn't...
A little too on the nose for everyone.
So, we were discussing this, and Claire said, you know, I was always into it, blah, blah, blah. She said, one year, I dressed up as an old lady. And in that moment, when she told me that, it dawned on her.
What was the epiphany?
The epiphany was this. When the woman said, "Aren't you too old to trick or treat?" It wasn't because she was too tall. It was because she was dressed up as an old lady. And she carried this. She and the mental health part of this is this. So much of the way we experience life is the stories that we tell about ourselves and the insecurities we have about ourselves. And it may or may not fit reality. It's the stories we tell about ourselves. She heard that woman saying, "Aren't you too old to trick or treat?" Because she always already felt like she was tall and gangly.
Mm-hmm.
The woman was just complimenting her costume.
Correct.
And this is literally 40 years later, she discovers this. And she's been carrying this all these years. And literally, I was there as she had this epiphany. Oh, my God. It wasn't an insult at all. It was just, I see life through this prism of my own insecurities and whatever, and it fits some. And so sometimes it's just true. If you feel like you're in life and you're being treated badly, or this person was rude to you, or this whatever else, a lot of times it is you're interpreting it that way because of what you. But it's not necessarily true. It may have something to do with reality or how they're perceiving their day or whatever else. Anyway.
It always comes back to the mantra, nobody thinks about you as much as you
think
about
true.
Me.
That's true. Nobody thinks about you as much. And you bring to all your experiences your insecurities.
100%.
Right? And your defensiveness. And your and so if you lay that down and sometimes. Anyway, I was thinking about this because it's a miserable day and we got Halloween. And I'm just going to hope it clears up by Friday. For
I think it's
sake.
Just clear up after today.
Yeah. Well, we got a busy day despite the fact that I have gone on this soliloquy about Halloween. So I would ask you, you know what? I wasn't going to do this. Fire up a quick game of Believe It or Not. Fire up a quick game of Believe It or Not. This is a must-win game for the Memphis Grizzlies tonight as they take on the Phoenix Suns.
I obviously do not believe that.
Of course it's not must-win, but
they are favorite. I was a little surprised to see their favorite.
I mean it's one game of 82 and it's like who cares, right? It's whatever. But I'll say this, they're favored. They're trying to at least my goal for them, this may not be their goal for themselves, is to stay 500 around 500 until the reinforcements arrive, right?
Yep.
So you have a game that you're favored on the road, and not only that, you're playing the Phoenix Suns, and you have the Phoenix Suns draft pick, most likely, the way the whatever. This is a, like, this would be, this is kind of an important game.
I mean, I'm fine with saying that.
Yeah, of course it's not must win.
But like,
stupid to say must win.
I mean, to me, I'm just in the mode of until they get reinforcements, I
just want them to hang on, though. That's
correct.
They got to pick
just
off some wins.
Do not free fall.
That's why you got to pick off some wins. You got to fortify yourself with some wins. Are you ready for Dylan Brooks as a Sun? Have you pondered that? Have you pondered that this is the Dylan Brooks game?
So I feel like last year kind of like
no,
flushed this with Dylan.
I will say though,
it feels like this last week of basketball is reminding yourself like, oh yeah, that person's there.
There is a little bit of that. It's also been unbelievable. Like we've had 50-point games, lots of 40-point games. It's been an unbelievable start to the season. By the way, in terms of the Grizz and Suns, Vince Williams Jr. is now questionable for tonight. So we've been looking for reinforcements, and let's be honest, he's not the one who immediately springs to mind.
No.
He's not the one who you've been like, ah, just can't wait till Vince Williams get back. No disrespect to Vince or the Williams family. But all help is good help. All reinforcements are welcome. While we're on the topic of the Grizzlies, we'll talk to Chris Harrington about this. He's got his top 25 Grizzlies.
Yep.
And today 24 dropped, and it's Santi.
Yes.
This was what struck me, because I did my own list at one point of 25. And what really struck me is, because he's been here for 25 years now, right?
Allegedly.
If you look at, after you get past 10 Grizzlies, they're really not that good. Like Steven Adams, we love Steven Adams, but like he is not a difference-making player. Santi Aldama.
We are talking about degrees of role player.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Right.
Like, they've been here for 25 years now. You would think, honestly, you could have better players than in your top 25 than.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's also.
But it's the way the league works.
It's kind of the nature of basketball.
Yeah, all there have been is there's really been three cores since the Grizzlies have gotten here, right? There was the original. And in that group, if you were to say who is in the top 25 from the original group, it's definitely Powell will be in the top 25, and Mike Miller will be in the top 25, and
probably Jay
and
will.
Shane will be in the top 25, and Jay will be in the top 25. Yep. That was the first core.
Yep.
And there were others. There were Posey will be in. I'm sure Posey will be in the top five. Stroma, whatever. There were other, but there was that team.
Yep.
Then there was the core four team. And of course, there we know the four, right? And then there were various pieces around them, but it was really just, it was pretty much the core four. And then there was this latest group, and Dylan is sort of in this, you know, Dylan was at the very end of the core four, whatever, but Dylan will 100% be in the top 25. Yeah. But so then there was just the Ja, Jaren, Desmond, Yeah, and basically that's it. We've had three fundamental constellation of Grizzlies, right?
Yep.
And in over a 25-year period, which is about right. You get about a, you know, 7 to 8 year run for each group and see what they do. By the way, I'm giving you a choice to start with, to start your team with Powell, Shane, Jay Will, and Mike Miller, the core four, or Ja, Jaren, Dez, and Dylan.
And I'm playing in this era.
And you're playing, and they're all at their zenith. And
yeah, I get peak, but they're playing in this era.
And they're playing today. I guess they're playing today. Yeah, I think you have to say that. Yeah,
I think you have to take Ja. Like, I do have the concerns about being undersized guard, but I think you have to say, like, in terms of all those teams, and there's a lot of great players in there. I mean, there's at least two Hall of Famers.
It's a pretty interesting conversation, actually, which was, I think you do. I'll say this, though. With Ja, you get the injury problem.
Like, no, I said, I understand it's the undersized guy, but he is of
it's not
all,
just the undersized, it's the injured.
Well,
it's
but
the,
I think those are related.
Yeah. Oh, they are related.
I think that goes hand in hand. But he is the only one that at his zenith could have an argument this is like one of the top five best players on the planet.
Powell was really good.
He was.
Powell was really good.
Powell should have won the 2010 Finals MVP.
I think you take that. I think you take this four, but you do get this problem. Like when you get this four, you get everything to go that goes with this four. Okay, you get the off the court.
Oh, hold on! I'm drafting core. I thought you meant like I get the number one pick.
No, you get these. No. You get the four.
Then I'm taking core four.
What's that?
I'm taking core four then.
You're taking it's these four, that four, or those four.
Okay, I thought you were saying I thought you were putting all the greats up and I get the number one pick of one player.
Which collection of four players?
Yeah, I'm taking the core four. I think they have the best collection of
even
fit.
Today.
Yeah, even fit. Like, yeah, they would have. Like, I don't think.
You'd have to put some shooters on there. Mike can shoot.
Yeah, but
Mark
can
shoot a little.
Let's not act like right now. Like, a lot of the quote unquote shooting is just style of play. I mean, it's not like this team is loaded with great shooters.
You take the core four, and then the Powell, Shane, Mike.
Yeah, I think that core was really a testament to how great Powell was.
Okay, we're playing a very spontaneous game of Believe It or Not. You agree with Pete Thamel, who said it's hard to imagine Lane Kiffin coaching at Ole Miss next year.
So I saw the clip going around. And it's getting mischaracterized.
Okay.
What he's saying is, it was hard to, if you just put it in a vacuum, someone having the choice of the Ole Miss, Florida, and LSU job, it's hard to imagine that person would pick Ole Miss. But he then continued, one of the complicating factors, since what we've been talking about this week, is the fact that Ole Miss is likely to be playing in the playoff. And that timing is going to be a problem.
Okay, So he was setting up, and then he said, but hold on. I want to be clear though. He wasn't, because there's, when we talk about whether he is likely to leave Ole Miss, I want to put this playoff thing aside for a moment. What we say is, in the old days, you would have a hard time imagining someone would stay at Ole Miss if you had the choice of Florida and LSU. But now the it's all NIL, the playing field has been even. That is not the argument he went to why he would stay at Ole Miss. The argument he went to was purely logistic and playoff and timing.
Yeah, let me make sure I've got it right, because I listened to it one time, so you can give me your interpretation.
All right, let's hear it.
So I found it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I think it's kind of in between. I do agree that it is not being, if you literally just... Because what has been quoted is just the quote itself. It's hard to imagine him coach whatever. So that is blunter than there is context. But to me, he is still saying it's hard to imagine him being there. He's just saying it'll be interesting to see how it will play out. It'll be interesting. He brings it up as a complicating factor, but he actually doesn't bring it up as a complicating factor as, and this is a reason he would stay. He basically says, and it can, so I do think he's still saying it's hard to imagine him being there with softening it a little bit given the context. What I want to do though is go to this. How do you imagine, okay, let's say Lane wants to go to LSU.
Yep.
And LSU wants Lane. I'm going to hypothesize that, okay? Just pretend.
Yep.
I don't know that's true. Maybe Lane wants to stay at Ole Miss, but let's pretend. Everyone is, maybe they talked yesterday and they said, they talk with Jimmy, we're doing this. How do you think it would play out? In other words, if every other job is filled and they keep that job open, you pretty much know what's happening. There will be a, why the hell hasn't LSU hired anyone? Why is, and every question will be to Lane, hey, are you going to LSU? Hey, are you going to LSU? That would itself be awkward, even if the portal is late enough this year that it might be manageable if they lose, you know, before then. Or they could literally come right out and say, yeah, I'm taking the LSU job. And then you coach as a lame duck at Ole Miss. Which of those do you think, let's say they just decide we want to do it, which of those would they do, and which would you recommend? What would you? Your Jimmy Sexton calls you. He says, "How should I handle this?" What would you tell him?
You're better at this than I am.
I know.
So what I would say is, and this is how I think he's going to handle it. I'm focused on the team, and like to your point, though. Okay, so like,
so he would not take the job in advance,
right?
But let's
play it out. In your scenario, I don't really think. I mean, the question is like how quickly do all of those jobs fill? Because if you're LSU and you're Florida and that's who you've targeted, I also know this is going to be true. Jimmy is his agent and both those schools are going to feel like they've got him. And then he's going to make a decision. So the question is, does somebody sit there and go, we can't wait and panic?
Or does someone, yeah, well, that's an interesting question. Maybe all the jobs will stay open waiting for Lane, and Lane won't have an agreement. They're just waiting for Lane.
Yep.
And he's just saying, I'm a focus. So what you are saying, though, you are ruling out the notion that he will take a job and continuing
Correct.
To coach at Ole Miss. That is not.
I do
how
not
it's
think he
go.
Is leaving a playoff team. I don't think he's announcing he's leaving a playoff team. Yes.
He is going to coach through the end of the playoff, and if people want to wait, and so then they can either handle it internally one of two ways. If you want to wait and talk to Lane, you have to wait and talk to Lane after he loses.
Right.
Or the other way to handle is that. Sure, we'll agree to come to you. We're going to LSU or we're going to Florida.
Yep.
We just aren't going to say this until he loses. We're not going to mention it. You and I know we have an agreement, but you don't think that'll happen either?
No. If he has a playoff team, he is so hyper competitive and folks, because also Jimmy's going to know what the offers are.
Yeah, but then I know. So Jimmy can literally, it doesn't take Lane much. He just has to say, yeah, we're going to LSU. Jimmy, it's not very distracting to say, I see the offer. Yes, I'm going to LSU.
Which is kind of what he did with Auburn back in 2022.
Like, do you now think he'll be at Ole Miss next year?
I want to see how the season plays out. If they're 11-1, yes. Because I think if they're 11-1, there's a decent chance that they're going to be a top four seed. And I do not think anyone is waiting until January 1 to hire him.
Just absolutely fascinating stuff. You were stunned last night by the mortality, the sheer non-superstardness of Ohtani.
I'm going to say I don't believe it. It was really just kind of one pitch.
Right.
I mean, like, yeah, like they had base runners on, but like, really, it's the home run, really.
He only got on base one time.
Yeah, I mean,
literally nine times. It's crazy. We probably didn't focus enough on what Ohtani did the previous night, which is legendary forever. And then, yeah, to see him last night, four runs in six innings. It's not like he got battered around or anything,
right? He wasn't terrible.
Oh God, no!
It just wasn't. He wasn't shut.
He wasn't.
Down.
He was not super. He was not Correct. Superman. He was not Superman last night. Honestly, the most impressive thing last night was the Jays getting off the mat.
Yeah.
Like it's almost as if Ryan Silverfield is coaching them as with their resilience.
Managing, yeah,
yeah. No George Springer. Like
and, no Springer,
and they were able to do what they were able to do.
But this is kind of their story.
That is what they are.
Like, they're kind of the never say die. I mean, I do think I think the biggest overreaction was, oh, the Jays lose that game, they're dead. Because, like, I feel like I've seen a lot of extra inning games where it's like, you think the team that loses is never going to be able to surmount it.
This is not the same as going into overtime when you're Memphis and Kansas.
Correct. Because everybody's got, well, A, the Dodgers don't have a ton of pitching depth. And then B, it's like, well, everybody's exhausted, and they got to show up and do it again tomorrow.
That is true. Everyone was exhausted, and they had to show up again and do it. If it goes to Game 7, and we do know now it will be going back to Toronto, if it goes to a Game 7, the Grizzlies will be in Toronto for that Game 7. So there you go. And then also yesterday... I'll give you one more. Greg Sankey is right. College players should not be allowed to bet on pro games.
I don't believe that, because also how the hell are you policing it? This is why they end up the NCAA thinks fundamentally that they shouldn't be able to, but they've realized there's just no way of policing it.
But then how is there any way of policing it betting on college games? It's no different. Like if you're a Memphis football player and you want to bet on the NCAA tournament, whatever, you want to bet on the NCAA national championship game in the NCAA tournament, there's no policing that either. But are you saying they should be allowed to bet on college games outside their sport or inside their sport? How are you policing any of it?
I think fundamentally we've all kind of come to the agreement of you shouldn't bet on the sport that you play.
The argument, here's the argument for Greg Sankey that, again, what's a little hard to swallow about all of this is colleges, pro teams, raking in all this money, an obscene amount of money, and then saying, but not for you. It just is a little, it's a little tough to swallow. Like that we are going to get rich off this, but you may not participate in this. There is a level of just on a face hypocrisy that is a little bit hard to get the mind around.
For sure.
But the argument that Sankey said that actually makes some sense to me is if you are going to say that you shouldn't bet on college sports, which is a line they are continuing to draw, right? They are saying, and it's not just their sport, they are continuing to say you can't bet on college games, college sports, period, right? That's what they're saying. What he's saying is if you let them bet on pro games, it normalizes the behavior. It says you can go over to FanDuel and you can bet on this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and you can have 17 different parlays and whatever else. And by doing that, it normalizes the behavior, getting into the habit, it makes it that much easier to then say, you know what, I can bet on college games too.
I think you're also wildly unaware of how prevalent gambling on the phone is at these campuses. Because basically the argument that the NCAA has come down with, and this has been across the board, we can't prevent student athletes, air quotes, from doing the same things that regular college kids are doing.
But they are, because they're not letting them bet on college games.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think it's next.
What?
I think that's next. I think basically the only thing that we really are going to be able to actually prevent is you cannot bet on your own sport because that involves the integrity of the game.
I do agree that, like, what percentage? Take your average. How many football players now on a, what's the,
give or take? It's 100.
Let's say it's 100.
All right.
Let's say it's 100. Average. So basically, right now they're not allowed to bet on pro or college sports, right? And you're right now.
I think on paper, yes.
On paper, that is the rule. You're not allowed to bet on either one. What percentage of football players at your average out of 100? How many are betting on college or pro sports on their phone?
Presuming that it is a state where they can legally bet on their phone, I'm going to say 75%.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think 75% of the Memphis Tigers are betting on games?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I'm talking NFL. I'm not saying like, oh.
No. I'm not saying corrupt betting on games. Nothing else. I'm just saying betting. It could be women's WNBA.
It would not shock me.
75%.
It would not shock me on an NFL Sunday. Yeah.
I agree it's a lot. Is it 25%?
I mean,
they're told you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it, you'll lose your scholarship, you'll be banned, right? And you think 75% do it anyway?
That seems,
anyway, but I do agree, it's a massive.
Okay, so here, this is from the study from 2022, and we've had a lot more gambling companies enter the space.
Yes.
It was 58% of men.
That's not college athletes.
This is from the NCAA's own study.
Oh, of college athletes.
Correct.
Or of men in the world.
It was 18 to 22 year olds in the study that have wagered on at least one.
But again,
sport.
Is it college athletes or is it men? Like men, 18 to 24 year old students. That is the fundamental distinction. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll tell you the answer to that in a minute. John Martin is going to join the show. Josh Heisa is the person to call if you are selling your home. 901-461-8147. Josh and the team at Keller Williams Realty. More than 300 five-star Google reviews. And here's the thing. You hear about how much he markets on this program. He spends thousands of marketing dollars every month to create demand and sell homes fast and for top dollar. So if you want to go the instant cash route, he'll do that. He'll give you an instant cash offer for your home. But if you want to take advantage of his aggressive marketing and sell your home the traditional way, Josh will do that as well. And he'll give you a recommendation, which path is probably better for you. So if you're thinking of your home, Josh Heisa, selling your home, Josh Heisa, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. BigBlueRadio.com. John Martin on the other side, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. It's a busy day, messy day, busy day. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin, this time in timely fashion, which I appreciate. John, what are your kids going to be for Halloween?
We're doing Little Mermaid theme.
Little Mermaid theme.
Yeah, so she's going to be Ariel, and Dom is going to be Flounder. I'm going to be King Triton, the dad of Ariel.
But wait, how do you do? Do you? And is Sam going to be something else?
I think she'll be. I think she's going to be like. I don't remember Ursula or something. Maybe I don't know.
These all things you buy on Amazon. Is King Triton? You have a costume. You can get that on Amazon too.
Yeah, she got it. She ordered it on Amazon.
That's quite something. What were you as a child?
Traumatized.
I told the story earlier that when I was a kid, this is just, it was a different time, man. Here are the options. You could either be a hobo, meaning homeless person. Like you couldn't.
You can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that.
An unhoused.
You just said it, but you can't say it.
An unhoused person. Oh, it gets worse.
Yes.
You could be an unhoused person, okay? You dressing up as an outhouse, that was common. It was common in the 70s. You could be, thank God we never did blackface, that, but just as bad, because I'm about to get the one that's just as bad. You could be a wounded soldier where you'd put a, like a sheet on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And put ketchup on, right? You could be a ghost or, because my dad had a sombrero from Mexico at one point, you could be a Mexican.
Yikes.
Yikes is the... That was all we were. Like, what are you going to be? The nine of us. It was like one of those four things. Like, yikes.
I'm very proud to say that I have never dressed up as a...
Another ethnicity. Good.
I've never even, you know, there was... I don't want to say any names, but there was a reporter in Memphis who went to a Halloween party shortly after it happened, dressed as... I'm just saying this happened. It's not funny. It's awful. And I think that they ended up getting reprimanded. But they went to a Halloween party as Lorenzen Reich.
Oh, my God.
Like, after he was murdered.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. I understand that, you know, we pushed the envelope with Halloween costumes, but that was definitely a bridge too far. And I'm proud to say that, you know, I've never done that. I've never even remotely.
There is no Halloween costume that you would have ever. No, I think in the end, I do think, like, if I were to run for office and someone had me a picture of me in third grade dressed up in a sombrero as a Mexican, I think they'd be forgiven. With the argument that it was the 70s and I was third grade, right? No, you think canceled?
Yeah, I mean, third grade is kind of different, but like,
if you're in college and did it, you should know by that. You should know better by then. That was a time when. Now, I never grew up in a world. I never grew up in a world where the N word was ever used, ever. Like, that was not a word that was ever used. But the homosexual slur, the gay slur, was definitely used. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
All the time.
Yeah, that was definitely very common. But you know, I didn't dress up as a.
You didn't dress up as a homeless person or a Mexican.
There's not a specific costume for a gay person, you know.
No, there's not. Anyway, I'm glad you're going. Under the sea.
I'm an inclusive person. At the end of the day, you're not going to find me out there.
You are nothing if not inclusive. So, all right, moving on. Did you conclude from John Calipari's comments that there will be no home and home against the University of Arkansas?
Yeah, because if it was something that he was interested in, he would have said that. You know, he wouldn't have gone on this whole long-winded, you know, how great this was.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Does that – all right, I agree. Like, I don't think he would have committed to it, but he could have said, this is something that Penny and I are very interested in and we're going to pursue, right? That he 100% could have said that. Yes, I'd really like to make that happen, right? He could have said that. And he didn't give any indication of that whatsoever. So I think that's a bad sign. But does that then make you, do you then roll your eyes at everything he's been saying about helping Memphis and caring about the city and whatever else? If he's not willing.
No, I mean, I think both things can be true, my man.
That's why I asked it as a question. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it was a pointed question.
It was not a pointed question. I'm asking because some people have come at me because I've been pretty complimentary of him, and they said, "No, if he really cared about Memphis, this is what he'd do."
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it was important for him to come back, and I genuinely do believe him when he said he wanted to get his former players like the flowers. Like I just know for a fact, like, he is such a players guy. That I genuinely believe him when he says that, and I think it was fulfilling for him, you know, to come back and get that. At the same time, you know, he doesn't owe Memphis a home and home.
Play devil's argument. What's the harm? How does it hurt him?
It hurts his ego if he loses. You know, it's a program that, you know, he doesn't have a home and home with UMass. He has to play Kentucky because he's in that league, but. You know, I don't think if he had a choice in the matter, he would sign himself up for a loss to Memphis. And he has a choice.
It's a game he could lose.
Totally, it's a game he could lose. And you know, I while Memphis is a brand and Memphis is going to be a quad one opportunity, like, Arkansas doesn't need quad one opportunity.
That's very clear, and neither does Tennessee either. Like, so Tennessee doesn't play here either.
So they don't play.
But you criticize Tennessee for not playing here.
Yeah, Tennessee's – they have no real reason not to play the game.
Neither does Arkansas.
Well, Arkansas has a reason to play because the head coach has an emotional history here. You know, like, he does
– Which way does that cut? I would think that would cut in favor of playing the game. My point is, if you're going to criticize Tennessee for not playing here, why not criticize Arkansas for not playing here?
Just because Tennessee is an in-state rival, and they had a contract, and they're not fulfilling that contract.
Was there anything? What was the best thing from the basketball perspective? Again, we take it all with a grain of salt. We would anyway, and then B, we learned from last year when they, you know, got pretty well handled in their exhibitions, and then went out and beat UConn. So we take the whole thing with a grain of salt. But given that, what was the best thing you saw from that game?
The best thing was definitely Doug McDaniel. I mean, it seems pretty clear that they're going to be their path to winning is Doug McDaniel putting up a lot of points and scoring a lot. You know, I think we know, you know, over the course of time that Penny does a great job of identifying these lead guards that come in and can do that. You know, you definitely get Kendrick Davis vibes. He's probably not the player that Kendrick was in terms of like elevating everybody else, but maybe. I mean, I thought
honestly, he came across well too as a like a fiery leader kind of guy. I was impressed by him.
He's got that to him. He's a top, 40 kid coming out of high school. You know, he's a very good player. And, you know, college basketball is different in that, small guards, we see it all the time. Small guards can have elite seasons. I mean, it just happens quite honestly all the time. So I think Doug McDaniel was definitely the most exciting part about it. And then on the other side of it,
what was the most worrisome part?
Memphis' front court is bad. They're not going to get from Aaron Bradshaw what they got from Dane Danger a year ago. I mean, is it possible once they get into American Conference play that he is better? Absolutely. But I just didn't see an Aaron Bradshaw guy that, I mean, because I think people kind of forget, fans kind of forget that like while PJ Haggerty was fantastic, they were really dependent on Dane Danger there in the middle to late stages of the season. I mean, they beat UAB because of Dane Danger, three different times. They just don't have that guy. And I think in college basketball, when you have a dominant big like as dominant as Dane was at the end of the year, it's pretty hard to stop that team, especially when you compliment it with a second team All American guard. Memphis does not have that this year, and I do think that's going to be an adjustment.
Did you have, before the other night, did you have higher hopes for Bradshaw? And like, he is who he's been.
I had my hopes lied in American Conference play. Not really anything before that because we've got 2 years of sample on him now at Power 5, four or five stops. He was at Kentucky, didn't really play well, and then he was at Ohio State last year and was in and out of the rotation. So I kind of knew what, Memphis was getting with Aaron, and I think the idea is that it's kind of like Dane. Like by the middle to the end of the season, he's been, accentuated in a way that gives him confidence, and he can, average 12 and 10 against the American. I think that's kind of the idea. So I think that's possible, but that's sort of separate of, they play this non-conference slate. That's pretty brutal. And are they going to be able to count on Aaron to be a consistent force in those games? And right now I would definitely just lean no.
If you were Lane Kiffin, what would you do?
So I'm probably going to have a choice, right? I'm going to have a choice of three options. I'm going to have LSU, Florida, or State Ole Miss.
Correct.
And, it's interesting. Like, if this was 2014, there would be absolutely no – and honestly, like, if LSU offers him, he may still have to go. I think Florida is a little different because Florida has been chasing this relevance that it has not had. I mean, LSU, we know, is known for NFL draft picks, known for championships. Like, they won one, not that long ago. I think if the answer is we have – as much NIL, like if I'm Lane, I can go to my guys and I can raise more NIL. If I could be on the same page with that, I think I would just stay. I really do. I think in the NIL landscape, you can make your job as good as you want to make it. I mean, if you're awesome at it, these schools are definitely afraid of losing you. And it may not just be like, oh, we'll give you all the money in the world for your salary. It's going to have to take more than that now. It's going to have to be your NIL is going to have to meet LSU and Florida's too. And we know theirs is going to go up because they're having new coaches. So if I could get there with Ole Miss, I would stay because I think there's so much value on a personal level in getting to somewhere where you're – I've been at 92.9 for 13 years, like going back to when I was your producer and – should I have looked somewhere else?
I happen to know if someone offered you a glittery, shiny job, you'd be out of here so fast.
I mean, what do you mean?
In Memphis. I don't know who it would be. You don't feel great. Do you feel great loyalty to 92.9? You'd feel a little teary if you left. Loyalty to 92.9?
It's not so much about the loyalty to 92.9 as it is like
comfort.
The day to day. Like, it gives me what I need. Is it perfect? Obviously not. But, I have freedom. I have a lot of the things that, people would like to have. And I'm, like you said, it is comfort. Now, again, this is – notice that I said if Ole Miss gives Lane the things that the other schools give him, right? It's not I'm going to take nothing and stay, right? It's I'm going to stay if I'm matched. And the reason why – I mean, we're talking about staying at Ole Miss over LSU in Florida. Like, that is nuts to talk about in 2025. But I think if you have those things – in 2025, then you can be successful. He already is successful. And I would ask LSU fans, and I would ask Florida fans, are the results that Lane has gotten at Ole Miss going to be good enough for you?
Well, that because... it was interesting. One of the interesting pieces was even the most desirable candidate in the entire, like we talked about, well, there's not enough great coaches to go around in this coaching search. The most desirable candidate is Lane, who hasn't been on an SEC title game. He hasn't been on an SEC title game.
Right, and like, you know, these fan bases kind of talk themselves into it, but they rationalize that, right? They're like, well, you know, he hasn't gotten the high school classes that he'll get at LSU, or he hasn't gotten the high school class like he good at Florida. I'm like, bro, he has gotten a top five portal class every single year since NIL was a thing. And are we really trying to differentiate between a high school recruiting class and a portal recruiting class? Like, if anything, a high school recruiting class is less valuable because it's going to take those kids 2 years to be contributors, right? So I don't think there's any
difference. You think you should stay?
If the money is there.
If the money is there and the NIL money is there, if it's the same.
If they match, to me, there's no doubt.
I always ask you to tell me three wagers that you've placed for the coming week. Give me some wagers that you've already placed, John.
I'm taking the weekend off, actually. I'm going to be in Disney. So I am going to be all in with my children
really?
And my family. Yes, I'm going to be all in. We leave this weekend, and so I will.
They been to Disney?
They have not been to Disney.
And how do you feel about that? Aren't they? They're pretty young to be going to Disney.
They are pretty young to be going to Disney. There's no question. Especially my son, who you know,
one and a half.
He's a caveman. Yes, but we have a family that is very Disney. Five.
When did you first go to Disney?
I think I was like 8, maybe.
Really? Your mom took you?
She did, yep.
And you and your brother?
Yep.
What do you remember about that trip?
I remember like having an autograph book and getting autographs from the characters. That's kind of what I remember the most.
Really? Did Jeffrey shaking his head? Do you remember that, Jeffrey?
Oh, the autograph book is an essential.
Do you remember you went as a little kid?
Yeah, I went. The first time I went, I was like 5, and then my dad also... like wrapped it into going to the Daytona 500 for like a work thing.
It's like it's just like John's life. He just was at Martinsville and now he's gone to Disney.
Yeah. We left after like, I remember like telling my dad, like, it's too loud after like the second lap. And he was like, oh, thank God. He's like, I gotta leave. My kid can't handle it.
You know, I think you would have to say I grew up in privilege, right? Except for now I'm rethinking it. Look at the Halloween costumes I had. Pretty meager, right? And then I didn't go to Disney.
You did have 8 siblings?
I didn't go to Disney.
You're one of 9, right?
I didn't go to Disney till I was in my 30s.
Well, but you're one of 9, correct?
I am one of 9.
And all kids went to pretty expensive colleges, right?
They did go to good colleges, expensive colleges. But I'm rethinking it. You guys both went to Disney as kids. I never did. In my 30s, the first time I went to Disney. Where are you staying, John? Yeah. Are you staying at a Disney resort?
I think we're staying on the resort. Yes, we have some connections there with people that are big wigs, not
a travel agent.
Is there a part of this besides seeing it through your kids' eyes, which will be the joy here, right? Seeing how happy they are. Is there a part of it that you're particularly looking forward to?
To be honest, yes. To be honest,
what? What's the part?
Well.
Space Mountain.
To be candid with you.
Yeah.
Oh, drinking around the world at Epcot.
that, but the ability to do this is not lost on me. The ability, I've thought a lot about it, and I just remember when my mom took us, she like had to put away and save, and like she really wanted to make this Disney dream for us come true. And you know, back then she was a single mom making 30 grand a year trying to raise 2 boys. And, you know, she worked her ass off to make that trip possible. And that was before Disney was anywhere near as expensive as it is now. And the fact that I'm able to, you know, I have vacation to do this, that I have connections to do it, that I have the financial wherewithal to do this and not worry about sparing any kind of expense and not worrying about, man, I'm putting this on a credit card. That's how my mom paid for it. My mom was in credit card debt until I was 30 years old. That's how she lived. That's how she had to raise us. And when you don't have money and you come into a situation where you are able to do things like this, it sheds a whole new light and it puts a whole new perspective on it. And it's like a consumer obsessed thing. It's like such an American thing to, like, you know, even think about Disney as some kind of destination, but the ability to do this for my children and to see, you know, them be happy, and I mean, it's not gonna be perfect. I understand that, but just the, you know, the wherewithal to be able to pull this trip off as a dad, you know, and not have to worry about it is a real blessing. You know, that's the part of it that I feel that immensely. I don't know if that made sense, but
no, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. Well, Claire, for example, like Claire, whose first husband died when the kids were super young, she literally couldn't ever take them to, and they were massive Harry Potter kids, right? And so she finally took them to Universal in their 20s. Like, that's when she had and they had the best time. Harry Potter World, is that where it is, Jeffrey?
Would that be Universal, yeah.
Yeah, at Universal. And, like, they had the best
Jeff,
time.
Jeff, it's the Wizarding World, please.
Wizarding World. Thank you. Yeah. They just had absolutely the best time in the world. So, Drew has a horrifying story that I'm here you go. Here's Drew's story. Dad worked for Comcast when I was a kid. Disney at one point tried to buy them, and they invited a ton of people from the company to come down to Orlando with their families. This sounds like a happy story, right? Well, one of the nights we were at MGM Studios eating dinner, and they had actors who were pretending to rob a nearby building dressed up as burglars. That's a terrible idea. Terrified me so bad, I cried for 4 hours and asked my parents to go home.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.